Please open the Holy Scriptures and read along with me from 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verses 14 and 15. 2 Chronicles 34, verses 14 and 15. When they were bringing out the money which had been brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found the book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Hilkiah responded and said to Shaphan the scribe, "I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord." And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan.
Blessed good afternoon to each of you. We're glad that you're here this afternoon and that you're concerned about things that are spiritual in nature. We're certainly blessed for your presence and to see that you've had another opportunity to be together as we come together to study from God's Word. I appreciate so very much, as I said early this morning, the blessing of having to be with you and meet you for the first time. We had a wonderful time with our brethren today that had an opportunity to gather. We thank Brother Don and his wonderful wife for having us to be with them and the wonderful meal that she prepared for me and my family. It was good to have Brother Don and his wife and daughter with us, and Brother, I want to say Matthew, Mark, Luke, but it's Joe and Mary. Good to have Brother Mary, if you will, have Brother Joe and his wife Mary with us this afternoon. We are so thankful and so excited to be with you this week. We are encouraged already. If we were to end the meeting right now, I will be so encouraged to go back home. It's good to also have the opportunity to meet the elders face to face. I am so thankful for their leadership here, their stand for truth, and wanting to support the gospel, not only in this area, but throughout the United States and wherever else that they are supporting. And I appreciate that so very much to have those good elders that you have here. You make sure that you honor them. You make sure that you continue to be with them and their wives. So that's something else that we forget sometimes. The man of God may get recognition, and behind scenes, it's the wife that encourages him in the darkest moments of his work. When he is tired, he's down in the dumps. It's the wife that uplifts him. It's his children that comes and give them a hug and tell them that it's going to be okay. So you need to make sure you appreciate the wives and their children as well. And I appreciate you so very much. Could you imagine for a moment being in this building and not being able to find the Bible? You know, there are many people that gather every Sunday morning, and although they come to discuss the words of God, you'll be hard-pressed to find the Bible being preached or taught there. Our dear brother read from 2 Chronicles 34, verses 14 to 15, and how that the Scripture shows us that the Word of God had been found. Now that's amazing, because as you look at the life of the children of Israel, God warned them through the prophets to take heed lest they become like their other nations around them. And because the people of God did not steer clear of the false things that were going on among them, they were consumed. And because of that, they forgot God and forgot His Word. Now listen, when we read there in 2 Chronicles, we're not talking about people who do not know God. Listen, we're talking about individuals who have the ability to witness the power of God. Whether we're talking about their forefathers or the prophets that were among them, they had the ability to sit at the feet of the words of God. But somehow down the line, the Bible was lost among God's people. Now, as I think about this, this is a scary scriptures, because I feel in some cases the Bible is lost among God's people today. But when you think of the Bible and the loss of the Bible, when you think of our nation and think of our public schools, what we see here is that the Bible's lost among men. The Bible is lost among our public school systems. There was a time when you could hear people praying, reading the scriptures. There are a lot of folks who don't realize the history of this country regarding public schools is rooted in the scriptures. There was a time when teachers taught moral truth from God's scriptures. A lot of folks, what you hear today is they had a disdain for the Bible, but don't let people fool you. You go back and you research history, you will find one of the textbooks, and I'm waiting to get a copy of it at my desk so that I can read through it. But doing some research, and I can't think of the name of the book for a moment. The Primer, if you will. That's the name. The Blue Primer. That was one of the earliest school textbooks being used in America. And within that book, you'd be impressed to find things such as telling children to stay away from drugs and alcohol, to be honest, and various other things. Look into that. But in our public schools today, you won't find any mentioning of God. And in fact, you would be cast out. You will be ostracized if you would dare to pass out Bible or a literature concerning the Word of God. And so the Bible is lost in our public schools. The Muslims, in that they have their Quran instead of the Bible, it's lost among that group of people. Communists, in the writing of Karl Marx, are accepted. And the Bible is lost among people from that particular viewpoint. Many religionists, in that they have shred its truth, the Bible itself, so that they are no longer are able to distinguish truth from error. The Bible is lost among them. But I want to tell you that I'm happy and I'm blessed to be able to be among people today wherein the Bible isn't lost. The Bible's not lost among the school teacher, if you will, among brethren. The Bible's not lost among those who hold the Bible for truth and their standards, such as the elders. The Bible is not lost among the deacons. The Bible is not lost among the class teacher. The Bible is precious to so many souls. And because of that, we can say that the Bible isn't lost among those individuals. But sadly to say, even though we got those who love the Bible and cherish the Bible, believe in the Bible, stand on the Bible, we still have a great number of people among us wherein the Bible is lost. There are some places that the Bible should be, but it's not. And why is that? Well, there are several reasons. First of which, I believe God's Word challenges us to make a change. And because God's Word challenges us to make a change, we feel that we are not ready to make those changes. And so then, we ignore the Word of God. It's sad to say that the Bible is lost among homes today. Did you know that? Yes, there are many who have Bibles on their coffee table. But brethren, I want to tell you that the Bible is lost in many homes today. The Apostle Paul said there in 2 Timothy chapter 1 at verse number 5, as we turn there. 2 Timothy, the first chapter at verse number 1. Paul, when he speaks of Timothy and his faith, he shows us that the Bible was not lost among his family. And when he said there at verse number 5, when I called to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Can we say that concerning our children? Can we say those who possess the Bible, that we're persuaded that the Word of God dwells within our children? Where are the parents who will teach their children God's Word? You know, I was impressed today as I was leaving after service in our beloved brother who led the songs, and I'm not going to speak highly of him, but his son. He's a football star in my eyes. And he was telling me about how that he was going to play in the playoffs this afternoon. But guess what? It came in conflict with the study that we're having right now. And because of that, they taught their children that, listen, we're going to serve God. Now, some people would have a problem with that. Now, I don't say that to be boastful or to put him on the spot, but I want to recognize something that was a blessing unto my soul. That young man is going to grow up understanding the truth that the Bible must not be lost in our family. That the Bible is going to be first. That we're going to stand on the Bible so that we can be like the Apostle Paul. We can say this, that we remember the genuine faith that is in you, which dwell first in your grandmother Lois. That young man is going to be able to say, I remember the genuine faith that my father and my mother had now dwells within me. Where is the family? Where are the parents who would teach their children God's word? Where are the families wherein it is a high priority that every generation makes sure each new generation is taught God's word? Is the Bible lost among us? Is it lost in our homes? Oh, you may have the Bible in your home, but is it alive? Do we believe in it? Or is it lost in our homes? You know, also there in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, turn with me. The Bible students are turning there. We look at verse 14 through 15. Let's be impressed with the Apostle Paul when he said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and be assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Verse 15, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are what? Able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. My kids understand it's not enough to know that your daddy is a gospel preacher. It's not enough to know that your mother teach Bible class. What's important is for you to grab a hold of God's word for yourself and be able to learn and ascertain from the word of God what he would have you to know. But untold families are not telling their children about the word of God. The character education that used to take place in the home is now being taught in our public school systems. And let me tell you something. Some of those teach character lack character themselves. And I don't apologize for that. Those who teach our children today lack character themselves. Humanism, in my estimation, is their base, and promiscuity is their product. They have no desire of teaching the children to be self-control. And by the way, guess what? It's not their job. People fuss and fight. Oh, God is out of school, but is God in your home? Because no, it doesn't matter the environment. If you teach them God's word, the environment will not consume them. If you don't teach them God's word, you can rest assured that they will be consumed by their environment. We know a familiar passage concerning our responsibility to children. When we look at Ephesians, the sixth chapter, please. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Oh, here is a command that children need to understand and understand well. The Bible says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Who's going to teach them to do that? Miss Smith, the third grade science teacher, will not teach your child to be obedient to your parent, although she has best intentions. There are many who are trying to undermine parents. It's interesting that you have to get permission to give a child a Tylenol in some systems school systems, but they can have an abortion without your knowledge. Now, let me preference and back up a minute and let you understand that I'm not down on school systems because there are wonderful, godly people, very godly individuals that I'm thankful that are in the school system. The school system is not bad. My only point is that we should look to some other entity to do our job. It's not their responsibility. In fact, we have a good group of individuals. We got one therapist who's a member of our congregation. She's a school therapist, not to the kids, but to the adults. And I said, girl, you got your work cut out. And I'm always messing with her about the school system. We homeschool our kids, but we still have problems too. We have to be very careful about what they're seeing and what they're looking at and how they're being influenced even by other homeschoolers. So it's everywhere. Don't be deceived. It's my responsibility as a father to teach and to bring my children up in the admonition of the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. Who is to do it? You are to do it. And fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Who is to do it? You are to do it. Don't expect your child to respect you if you want the school system to do it. Or some other entity. We must do it. We must bring them up in the admonition of the Lord. We must guide them in spiritual truth. Yes, the Bible is still lost in many homes. You know another place that the Bible is lost? In the pulpit. The Bible is not only lost in the homes, but the Bible is lost today in many pulpits. You know, it's sad. It's sad to believe that we have individuals out there that claim to be worshiping God, but you have no mentioning of the Bible being preached. I can't remember the fella, but today I don't believe that our beloved sister Mary knew I was going to be talking about this subject, but she was talking about this one individual who was preaching, and he took one word and he spent 20 minutes on that one word. He developed that sermon. Not much scriptures to support it. And that's what we're getting today. We shouldn't come together and have the scripture be rationed to us. We should be full like I am now. We should be full. Like, man, I'm telling you, that we were turning to so much scriptures. In fact, Brother Don had went through the book. I have so many more to be reading and analyzing when I get home. I can't wait to digest those things. And let me say this. A good sermon is not dependent upon how many scriptures you use, by the way. But my point is, the Word of God must be the core if we're preaching the Word of God. And so Paul tells Timothy there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, he said, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing and his kingdom. Get it, please. Look now at verse number 2. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teachings. Did you get that? But not only that, verse 3 says, for a time is coming when people will not endure sound doctrine. What is that? Healthy, wholesome doctrine. They will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. Teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myth. Let me tell you something. When Paul was writing this, he was not writing to a denomination. He was writing to a man who was to preach and teach the word in this purity. He was writing to a man who would be working among God's people. He wanted this individual to realize that as he preached the gospel, he needed to stand, be ready in season. The season's about to change. Even though the season changes, you don't change the word. You preach the word. God's people may get fed up with it. God's people may be get tired of it. But you preach the word, dear brother. You don't stop preaching the word. And I want to tell you a secret. There are so many churches of Christ today. Well, you won't find the Bible in their pulpits. There's so many churches of Christ today who have the name Christ on it, but they don't believe in what they say they accept. I wasn't privy to growing up in the church per se. I grew up in the Holiness Baptist Church, and my wife did as well. I want to tell you, there's so many churches today, unfortunately, looks no different than the Baptist church in which I grew up in. With all the activities that they're doing, all the different things that they got going on. And there's so many people who know that it's wrong, but they are refusing to come out of it because of family ties, because this is what they've been doing. Let me tell you something. If the word is not in the pulpit being preached, you don't need to be there. Listen to me. We don't need to be a part. The moment that Don stopped preaching the word is the moment that Don needs to pack up and go someplace else. I tell brethren where I'm at, when I begin to preach something that's going to itch your ear, you better look out. When you start to get some tingling for something that is not authentic, you better look out. Something's wrong with me. I'm sick. I might need to retire. We need to have the word of God, people, being preached in the pulpits. And it's not being preached. It's lost in the pulpit. And so Paul says at verse 16 of 1 Timothy chapter 4, 1 Timothy chapter 4, at verse number 16, he says, take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. He didn't say take heed to the brotherhood. He didn't say take heed to the major publishers. He didn't say take heed to the many schools out there. He didn't say take heed to those things. He said take heed to the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I don't know what man who believes he can obfuscate the word of God and save someone's soul. I don't know any person who's able to do that, who think that he can stand in the pulpit and give a good motivating speech and someone will be saved. No, sir. The Bible tells us, good people, that we are to take heed to ourselves and to the doctrine, and that we are to continue in it. Don't stop. Yes, society is changing. Yes, there are different things that we have to address. We may have to deal with the historical fact of a lot of issues going on, but let's get back to the word to show people what we are to believe and where we're to stand. So Peter tells me, if any man speak, let him speak as what? The oracles of Fred Singleton. No, sir. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of what people like in a local congregation. No, sir. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of what? You got it. God. That's how we must speak. We must speak as the oracles of God. You know, every preacher should be able to stand before any and every audience he is privileged to address and be able to say with all truthfulness the words penned by Solomon. They're in Proverbs 4 and verse number 2. He should be able to say, for I give you good doctrine. He should be able to say, for I have given you good doctrine. The Bible, unfortunately, good people, is lost in many pulpits. There are people who have been in the church for many years. A dear brother in the back, when I came in this morning, he said, I'm 80 years old. He taught Bible class for 40 years. It's a long time. Sometimes we get fed up. And we say to ourselves that I've heard it over and over again. But let me tell you something. That little baby that's going to be a teenager in about 10 years, 15 years, hadn't heard it. That preacher that is trying to develop needs to preach those sermons because he's going to come in contact with people who haven't heard it. We need to understand that the Bible is always relevant. And we should always be able to say, for I have gave you good doctrine. But sometimes we won't find that. The good doctrine. What is a good doctrine? If he's preaching the word of God, that is what is good. If he's preaching his opinion, no, we're not going to accept that. But the word of God. Unfortunately, the Bible is lost in many pulpits today. You know another place the Bible is lost? The Bible is lost today in emotionalism. The Bible is lost in emotionalism. That's something else we discussed today. As you look at John, the sixth chapter, please. John chapter 6. Jesus tells us how mankind will come unto him and how they can be saved, people. He said in John 6, we're putting our fingers at verse number 44, and we will begin to read down to verse 45. It is so wonderful to hear the Bible students are turning in their Bibles to check out this man who is preaching. The Bible says, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up at the last day. It is written, it is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught, get it, by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. You'll be taught by who? The Father. How is the Father teaching us? Through his word. There are those who accept the scriptures will come unto God. Did you get that? But so much emphasis is placed on feelings than learning. Feeling right rather than studying to be right. God says, study, don't feel, study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, but what? Rightly handling the word of truth. You got it. This feel-good business is damaging so many people. You know what the Bible teaches us about Christianity? Christianity is an intellectual religion. It's not rooted in our emotions. Our emotions follow thereafter. I'll give you one example. There are a lot of examples in the Bible. You remember the Ethiopian eunuch? He learned by reading the scriptures. When Philip came unto him, asked him, do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? How can I let someone teach me? And he began with what? The emotions. That's what he did, right? No, sir, he didn't do that. He began with what? What everybody's doing, what feels right, what looks good to me. He didn't do that. He began with the scriptures. And guess what? Intellectually, he was taught. When he consumed the word of God, the Bible says he was then baptized. See, here's what would hinder him to be baptized. And then the emotional response followed. He went away rejoicing. He went away rejoicing. After he was taught, he went away rejoicing. He was taught first. He realized what he was taught was true. Then there was a proper emotional response. We're not dead people. I don't care what nobody tell you. We're not dead, boring people. Excuse me. People say, y'all dead and y'all boring. Well, then you don't know gosh people then. We're more alive than you can imagine because God is working on my mind. Then there's emotions that follow later on. It doesn't start all the way around. Anybody can lead you astray. That's why Jesus talked about the blind. You know what? They're walking along because they're just, man, we got this thing down pat. Did you dig it? We got it going on. And they are going to the ditch because their emotions are leading them away from the truth. So many people today, good folks, are be led away because of their emotions. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14, let's get a little bit of that. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and at verse number 14. Paul says, to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is by the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know this passage, 2 Titus, or if you will, Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12 says what? For the grace of God that brings, salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, there go that word again, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Let's look at one other passage over in Galatians 5, please. Galatians chapter 5. The fruit of the Spirit is mentioned here, and it's something that we want to develop here. Galatians 5, 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. Listen, self-control. God don't want his people running around like a whale. He wants us to have self-control. Be in control of who we are. Know who we are. What type of fruit we are to be bearing. Not this haphazard, spontaneous development that we find among so many of our religious friends. And I would say even among our brethren. Once again, when the word of God is implanted in your heart, you are excited. We go after the organ that pushes blood through all the vessels in our bodies. That's what we point to, but that's not the heart. The heart that the Lord is looking after is the mind. The Bible is lost in emotionalism today because people want to feel good. I tell you what, Joe Alstein, not just him, T.D. Jakes, I was telling some of the brethren today when I went to a meeting in Houston, Texas, I passed by Joe Alstein's church building. I'm like, wow. It was almost a half a mile to a mile. That's how long this particular place that he occupies. And emotionally people are filled. Let that man begin to preach the Bible and you see how much people run out of there. You can never preach the Bible there. He'll begin with the Bible. He'll hold the Bible. It's good to have you here this morning. And let me not mock people because I don't want to come off as rude and condescending. And that's not my objective. And after they make their claim and they stand up and pray, then how are you feeling today? And you go into some other things. These people are good. We're not worrying about being good. We're worrying about being right. Standing on truth. But the Bible's lost in so many pulpits today. You know, the Bible is also lost today in the riptides of our society. Simply speaking, riptides are backward waves beneath the water. Dangerous riptides are not seen in advance. One does not know it is there until it's too late and he's caught up in it, being carried back out to sea. So many drown, so many deaths every year is due to the riptides. People go swimming and they're not realizing that there is a riptide underneath their feet and all of a sudden they're swept out at sea. And you know what's difficult is when people try to swim in direction of the riptides instead of swimming parallel to the shore to get out of the riptides and then make their way to the shore. What happens is they begin to panic because they're fighting against the riptides. They panic and eventually they give up and they pass on. They're swept out to sea. Many get caught up in the riptides of society and the world and are unable to free themselves. We're going along doing fine and the riptides of our jobs carries us away from God. The riptides of our habits carry us away from God. The riptides of pleasure carry us away from God. The riptides of lifestyle carry us away from God. The riptide of influence, carry us away from God. And what is so funny and sad is that many will do all they can to try to save someone from a riptide, only to be lost themselves. I don't know about you, but trying to save someone who is drowning is a very difficult thing. Especially if you're not experienced. It's difficult. It happened to me one time. But that don't mean that we should just give up. What I mean is this. Sometimes as brethren, we find that some of our brethren are so caught up in what they're doing, we try to get them to come back to God, that we get so exhausted and we just want to quit. We feel like our efforts is wasted. We feel like we're the one that is responsible. We're disappointed. And because of that, we give up. And we ask the question, what is it worth? He's not living for God. She's not living for God. I'm trying. See, like I'm the only one. And we give up. We can't give up. We can't give up. We must not drown. Just as with riptides, in the ocean, there is a way out. But not the way that seems most reasonable and available. It takes time and effort, but it can be done to get out of that. Hilkiah, the priest of God, when he found the book, he saw the book. He identified as the book of God. He had the ability to know that it was of God. He found the book in a place where it shouldn't have been lost. And that is in the house of God. Yes, the Bible is lost today in many homes. The Bible is lost today in many pulpits. The Bible is lost today in emotionalism. The Bible is lost today in the riptides of our society. Even though the Bible was lost, when Hilkiah discovered the Word of God, it was still able to revolutionize their day. You see, God's Word can still revolutionize your life today. What we must do is keep a hold to the Bible. We must stand on the Bible. And never, 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 never allow the Bible to be lost among us. Would you pray with me? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this day. We give glory and honor to your name. And we thank you, Father, for this opportunity to be refreshed in our faith. Dear God, it's a sad thing to read in your word, how that your Holy Scriptures was misplaced among your people, those individuals who was given care of it. It is sad today, Father, to know that there are many around us who have been entrusted with the word, but unfortunately, it is lost. Our word, your word is lost within our communities. It's lost within our government. Your word is lost among even your own people, and it ought not to be so. But Father, it's not lost among us who love your word, who hunger and thirst for it. It will never be lost among those who understand that it is the light guiding them in this dark and chaotic world. And for that, we thank you and glorify you. Help us always to be encouraged to know that without the Bible, we in fact are lost. For we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to this portion of our time together to extend Jesus Christ's invitation, the gospel. Our Lord and Savior had told the apostles before leaving that the work of bringing people to God will begin in Jerusalem, as we read about in Acts chapter 1. And he told them to go tarry. And from that point forward, the word of God has been reaching mankind throughout the entire world. The word of God has been planted into your heart on this day. And I hope that you are ready to receive it. A person who has an open heart, who is honest and sincere, will be that individual who will hearken unto the words of Jesus. For Jesus said, "He that believes in and is baptized will be saved." He that believes and is baptized will be saved. Doesn't matter what someone tells you. If you believe in the Lord and refuses through an obedient faith to be baptized, there's no way you can receive that promise of salvation. But if you believe in him and you have not been baptized, what are you waiting on? You say you want your sins to be forgiven? You say you want to spend eternity with God? Then what are you waiting on? Why not arise and be baptized today, calling on the name of the Lord? For you see, that's the only way in which you can be saved, by an obedient, complete faith. But to all those who have been baptized, our faith must continue to work in our lives. This is not the end. Baptism is only the beginning. And so that's why it's so important to remain faithful. Will we veer off? Yes. Will we sin? Yes. But John told the brethren long ago, "I write these things to you so you may not sin. But if anyone sins, we have an advocate." Thank the Lord for that. Thank the Lord for that. We have an advocate, the Father, Jesus Christ. But we got to be willing to confess our sins. That's those of us who are Christians. Hey, listen, don't be ashamed. Jesus bore the cross for you. Don't be ashamed. If you need prayers of the congregation, if you need to be uplifted, if you need to change your life tonight, I'm speaking to our brethren who are struggling. Don't be ashamed. People are not here to demean you. They're here to help you. And if you're here tonight and you're not a Christian and you want to experience that release and of sin, then we want you to come to Jesus. Where are you tonight? Where are you tonight? All things are ready. The question is, would you come unto the feast? I hope so, as together we stand and sing the song that has been selected.